The story of the Magi ranks right up there with our Christmas stories and Easter stories in capturing our human imagination. Perhaps because despite its importance to Matthew, Matthew gives us so few details of what happened between these wise men and Mary and Joseph and Jesus. So artists and poets and musicians and writers have over time used their own imaginations with this story to produce a great body of work. Not so long ago, 1879, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow wrote a poem called The Three Kings, and in that poem, that's where he named the three wise men, Caspar, Melchior, and Balthazar. So we're given some freedom, I think, by Matthew to fill in the story of these visitors who left their homes to journey to a place that was absolutely outside of their comfort zones, outside of their safe places, and those who came away from that experience changed forever. Perhaps our imagination is so captured by them because sometimes we feel that way too. Sometimes we too feel out of place, far away from home, and on a journey where we cannot see the end, and sometimes we're not so sure of our beginning. Matthew does not give us shepherds or angels or a manger. The story of the traveling wise men tells us everything that Matthew wanted us to know about the meaning of the birth of the Son of God. These magi, these wise men, we know from our history, were part of a respected class of scholars who studied astrology and astronomy and mathematics and medicine, all the natural sciences of the time. And the scripture passages that we have this morning from Isaiah and from the Psalm led us to be part of this tradition of the Magi also being kings, powerful and wealthy with camels. What we also know about them is they were not Jewish. Traveling to the land of the children of Israel, they were pagan. They knew nothing of scripture. They had no history of God's salvation. They had no stories of their own from Isaiah. They didn't know about David or Abraham and Sarah. And they, these wise men, did not have a name for God. They were outside of the covenant of promise that God had made with the children of Israel. They were kind of a curiosity seekers, these three. And we don't even know there were three. That's our tradition too, right? But these three, we'll say that. They had the means and the opportunity to leave their comfortable homes where they were respected and travel this long, hard road through the wilderness to come to Jerusalem because of the prophecies they had heard. They had knew that when a king was born, a star would appear over where the king lived. So they get to Jerusalem, and as they should, they first go to the home of the obvious king, where they are welcomed into the palace, into this sumptuous home that they expected to see a king living in. It made sense that this king, King Herod, in this holy city of Jerusalem, would be the one that they were so drawn to. It was obvious. But the wise men really were wise. And the minute they saw Herod, they knew he was not the one. They were astute and intuitive and politically smart. And they said to Herod, "Sure, we'll go do your work. We'll let you know where the new king is." They were wary but polite. They knew that something was terribly wrong. They went back out into the night air where they found that star waiting for them. And it moved them through the streets of Jerusalem and out toward the village of Bethlehem, where the faithful star finally stopped. Not over another palace, but over a plain, modest, one-room house in a neighborhood full of busy people on their night errands, a neighborhood redolent with the aroma of cooking meals. And if the star had not stopped right there, they would have walked right past it. They knocked, and the door opened from the inside, and then the couple who opened the door almost passed out in fright. For they had never welcomed such people into their home, not their home in Nazareth, and not even this temporary home in Bethlehem. I'm sure that they welcomed them with hospitality. Joseph must have offered them a hot drink. Mary dusted off a chair. But the wise men never even noticed the parents' shock. For as they came in the door, immediately they saw who they had come to see. They did not know who he was. They did not know his name. But they did know what to do. They threw aside their robes, took off their turbans, and put down their boxes of treasure, and knelt and worshiped him, and paid him homage as one paid to a king. How could they possibly have known that they should have brought him baby gifts? They gave him what they had, the overflowing contents of their treasure chests. And Mary and Joseph didn't even blink. They accepted the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh, even though they wondered what on earth were they going to do with these things, not to mention this little child. Mary and Joseph offered their home, such as it was, to these powerful men who were gazing at their son with such wonder, such love, such praise. I can imagine the warmth and the love in that little room, in that home filled with people who were such an odd mix, filled with peace, safety, a nursing baby in the light from a holy star. In that home, God welcomed the outsiders. God welcomed the ones who did not know God's name, and he made them feel at home. The Magi brought their gifts, but when they finally gathered themselves together to leave, instead they thanked Mary and Joseph for the gifts that had been given to them. The gift of a baby, the gift of the hospitality of this home, the love and the gift of a great story of God's good news that they would then tell over and over to everybody they met when they finally got to their homes. Then they gathered their maps together and got ready to go look for the star because it was time to leave. And they realized that the star had set and that their old maps didn't work anymore. But it didn't matter because they knew already that they were going to go on another road to find home. And as they left there, they also knew that they now knew the name of God. In our church home, in our own homes, whether that today or this week is a hotel room or a hospital room or the on-call room this week, whether our home is a tiny apartment or a large home full of the rattling of children and animals, let us ask God's blessing on our lives, our homes, and all who enter therein. And when the storms rage outside, when the warring nations are bellowing, when fear threatens to overtake us, when instead of curiosity we feel anxiety, when instead of peace we feel anger, let us remember the peace and joy of that little home in Bethlehem where, even as King Herod plotted and planned his terrible evil, God entered in. When we enter back out into the world, we know that God lives in us. We are God's home. At the same time that we live in God's, we are in God's home and God is in ours. God knows our names, and we know the name of God. Wherever you are on your journey, you are welcome in this home where you are well-loved and well-known in the home of God. Amen.